Smart Trust. Creating prosperity, energy, and joy in a low trust world. Authors: Stephen M. R. Covey, Greg Link, and Rebecca Merrill. To trust or not to trust. To a greater or lesser extent, we feel disconcerted by the evidence surrounding and telling us that the world can't be trusted. Yet we keep telling ourselves that trust works. That there are people and organizations that, even in the midst of a historic era of distrust, are experiencing the extraordinary benefits of high trust, both personally and professionally. And so we ask, who are they? What are they doing? How are they doing it? And is it really possible for me or my organization to do it too? In today's networked world, trust has become the new currency. The critical competency for individuals, teams, organizations, and even countries. And smart trust is the means by which all of these can enjoy greater prosperity, energy, and joy in all dimensions of life. The paradox and the promise. In 1974, a terrible famine swept through Bangladesh. Millions of starving people began to migrate from the remote villages of the north to the cities farther south in search of food. In one such city, Chittagong, lived a 34-year-old economics professor named Muhammad Yunus, who had recently returned from the United States, where he had gone as a Fulbright scholar to obtain a PhD in economics. Heartsick and determined to find some way to help, he decided to begin with the poor people in the small neighboring village of Jubra. There, Yunus discovered that most of the poorest of the poor were widowed, divorced, or abandoned women who were desperately trying to feed their children. Because they didn't have the money to buy supplies, they were forced to borrow from traders and then sell their products back to them for a pittance. As an economist, Yunus realized that the only way these women could break out of the cycle would be to get them money to buy and sell products for the full retail price in a free market. As he researched throughout the tiny village of Jubra, he found that there was a total of 42 people, stoolmakers, mat weavers, rickshaw drivers, and so on, who were all dependent on the traders, and the combined amount that they were borrowing was only 856 taka, or less than $27. At the end, Yunus loaned those 42 people, because no one else would, with the simple instructions to pay it back without interest, when they could. He went up the line to the regional bank manager and was able to secure a loan in the amount of $300 from the reluctant bank administration to distribute among the poor. After that, Yunus went into banking himself and studied how other banks set up their loan operations, and then he set up a bank, the Grameen, Rural or Village Bank, that did the exact opposite. Whereas other banks tried to delay the borrower's repayments as long as possible in order to increase the amount of loan, making it hard for people to pay, Yunus instituted a daily payment program of very small amounts. He set up support groups and established incentives to encourage borrowers to help one another succeed. A crisis of trust. The most intriguing aspect of Yunus's story is that at its very core is smart trust. It is a story of a man believing, trusting, that with intelligent measures in place, impoverished people with no collateral, no steady employment, no verifiable credit history could actually be trusted. They could be trusted to use borrowed money wisely, and they could be trusted to pay back their loans. The cost of the crisis. Trust changes prosperity. A company's reputation, its ability to partner and collaborate with others, its capacity to innovate, its effectiveness in engaging its people, its ability to attract and retain great people, the speed at which it can execute, all these dimensions of success are powerfully affected by trust. Trust changes energy. By energy, we mean not only physical and emotional energy, but also engagement, creativity, health, and well-being. Trust changes joy. When people talk about low trust relationships, you see tension, sorrow, pain, and sometimes even fear. When they talk about high trust relationships, everything changes. Eyes light up, smiles appear, people become animated, and conversation focuses on positive outcomes that bring happiness. Smart trust. Smart trust is judgment. It's a competency and a process that enables us to operate with high trust in a low trust world. It minimizes risk and maximizes possibilities. It optimizes two key factors. 1. A propensity to trust. The propensity to trust is primarily a matter of the heart. Having a high propensity to trust, extending trust deliberately and intentionally, is a vital dimension of smart trust, as long as it's combined with equally high analysis. Starting with a high propensity to trust means that we open ourselves up to the possibilities. 2. Analysis. Analysis refers to our ability to assess, evaluate, and consider implications and consequences, including risk. Smart trust analysis involves the assessment of three vital variables. 1. Opportunity. This is simply a matter of clearly identifying what you're trusting someone with, to close a deal, to manage a project, and so on. 2. Risk. The objective of smart trust is to manage risk wisely, to extend trust in a way that will maximize prosperity, energy, and joy. 3. Credibility. Credibility is the character, integrity and intent, and competence, capabilities and track record of success of the person and people involved. The five actions of smart trust. 1. Choose to believe in trust. To choose to believe in trust is to enhance our natural propensity to trust. Top-down hierarchical structures tend to be based on control and on the belief that most people can't be trusted, or perhaps more accurately, on the belief that because we can't trust the small minority, we also can't trust the vast majority. That is because people sometimes confuse control and trust, thinking that if we trust, we're not in control. As a result, the most common response to trust violations is to throw more rules at the problem, which mostly punishes the many because of the actions of a few. 2. Start with self. Assess your own credibility. Can you trust yourself? Are you giving others a person, a leader, a team, a company, a country they can trust? The act of starting with the self and asking these two vital questions will affect every step you take and every decision you make in creating and restoring trust, because your credibility is the foundation of all the other smart trust actions. 3. Declare your intent and assume positive intent in others. Declaring your intent is signaling your behavior to others. It is based on the principles of purpose and intention. The opposite is to fail to declare intent, or to simply assume your intent is clear. Counterfeits include hiding or disguising your intent, operating with hidden agendas, misleading, pretending, and overpromising. Declaring intent is a performance multiplier in the sense that it creates context and facilitates the achievement of goals. It engages people and enables them to make more informed decisions. It inspires hope. It's authentic and transparent, which connects us with people not only intellectually, but also emotionally. 4. Do what you say. This is based on the principles of integrity and congruence. Delivering promised results generates trust faster than any other action. 5. Lead out in extending trust to others. Extending smart trust to other people inspires people, increases trust, and generates reciprocity. Renaissance of trust. Smart trust is a splendid torch that we want to make burn as brightly as possible, not only in handing it on to future generations, but also in engaging the current generation to achieve better results. Feel stronger passion and experience greater happiness. In other words, to create prosperity, energy, and joy.